This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
DeShaun Tate is the host of the Locked On Hawks postcast, recapping every Hawks game immediately after the Hawks game. So let's kind of begin there with our discussion today, DeShaun. Let's talk about last night's game. Weird game. I mean, they couldn't stop anybody. 47 points by the Bucks without Giannis in the second quarter. I'm like, oh, my God. And then the Bucks couldn't shoot to save their lives in the second half.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And then there were some instances where I felt like we had Bobby Portis out there almost looking like his name is Bobby Curry, for crying out loud. But it was really a game of runs, which obviously the Hawks outlasted the Bucks. But, you know, a couple, you know, 16, you know, I think, what was it, the Hawks went on a 19-2 run in the first quarter. And then all of a sudden, Milwaukee goes on a 16-4, two of them actually in the second quarter. And then the Hawks end up with a 16-2 run in the third quarter, 25 points. But I think ultimately what kind of, you know, the determining factor was the fact that beginning the fourth quarter, holding Milwaukee scoreless for the first 4 minutes of the game, and obviously the second half is where they kind of caught lightning in a bottle a little bit. And let's just be real. And I know some people are going to say, oh, not another one of these conversations we're having about being competitive. And that's something that we couldn't always say in this particular market with this franchise, is that no matter who has or who has not been on the floor, and I get it, the losses are the losses. They went on an 8-game losing streak and all this other stuff, but they have been competitive in every game. And I think ultimately the things that have kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me has been the free throw shooting, has been the 3-point shooting and the turnovers. And as bad as that has looked, if they can find a way, some way, somehow, they might be shooting them, if I'm the coach, all day in practice and shoot arounds. But You know, those would be the three key things that I think that they really need to work on the most. We wouldn't even be having very many conversations. That could change them from looking like a play-in team, even with all the injuries, to still being in position to be within the top six or seven in the East. But, no, the Hawks are, you know, it's still a work in progress, and I'm not sure anybody has done more with less than what Quinn Snyder has done.
Oh, good Lord, it's been a work in progress for 50 years. I mean, come on, it's like, stop. So I get right. The whole thing, Deshaun, of always having to wait till next year. Oh, wait till next year. Oh, wait till next year. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it just drives you nuts. So my takeaway from the trade deadline was I think the Hawks tried to make they had a couple of golden pieces. Those are those, the expiring contracts in Clint and Nance. I think they tried to make a big move and just couldn't pull it off. And, you know, people asked for too much. They wanted Clint and Nance and Dre and three number ones or something. And the Hawks are just like, no, we can't, you know. So they're at where they're at with this young team. Of course, not with Jalen at the moment. But they pick up four. Now they have four expiring contracts. Well, one they just cut in Highland. They unload the Dre contract. They unload the Cody Zeller pointless thing. They unload the Bogey contract. They could have $70 million to play with under the luxury tax at the end of the year. I think this team is bound for at least one more year. And tell me if you think so. I think this team, by doing this at the trade deadline, is bound for one more year of, all right, let's see if we can get the young guys to grow. We've got some money to go out and make a deal here to pick up a couple of free agents and rebuild the bench. And then let's see what happens next year with, Jalen healthy and Zach with the second year and Okongwu's growth and Dyson's growth. And let's see if we can't make a run with this. And if we can't, that's the point at which you say, okay, we have to move on from Trey.
Move on from what?
Move on from Trey. I mean, you got to do him right. You're not going to supermax him at that point. If you can't make it work next year, then you can't supermax a guy and just, drag this out for another 5 years.
Yeah, I know, and God forbid you end up losing him. It's hard for me to imagine him trying to make a move on the guy who, in my own personal opinion, is probably the best thing since, Dominique Wilkins to walk through the doors. The issue here for me is that, sometimes it's like, man, are we kind of tired of seeming like we're living in mediocrity all the time? And obviously the salary dumps and everything else is a big deal because, you get somebody like a DeAndre Hunter, you move him off the books. Don't forget you moved up to go and get him number four in that draft and he hasn't looked like that. And obviously the injury issues that he's had, and finally you get a chance to have him look like what you drafted. And then so, you got to get your best value for him while you can. And I kind of understand all of that stuff, playing the best basketball of his career. But I think that the concerning part with the moves that they made was that they just did not check the boxes of what they actually needed, right? A backup point guard. I get it. Bones Highland obviously doesn't appear to be a part of that. But you also didn't go and get somebody up front that I believe can actually make a move and go create a basket for themselves in the front court. So they didn't really address that. It appears that maybe by going to get George's Niang, that is your, cheaper version of Bogey. Maybe by going to get Caris LeVert, that is your, option of replacing somebody like a DeAndre Hunter, who, by the way, and I know we're always talking about how good he's been, and definitely he has been. You go and look at his last eight games. Four of those eight games, he has combined for, I think, 2 of 26 or something kind of ridiculous like that from a perimeter shooting standpoint. So, I kind of get as far as what the Hawks are trying to do, but I don't really have a lot of faith. I didn't have a lot of faith in them to make trades that is going to fill the needs that they have. I don't really have a lot of faith in the fact that, that they're going to be active during free agency. So those things are things that are just a little bit concerning for me, John, if I'm really just being transparent about this team. Let me say this, and forgive me for being a little long-winded. I will say this, though, where there is somewhat of some silver lining a little bit to a degree. This was also a team that I wasn't thrilled or certainly was underwhelmed when they made the DeJounte trade, right? I'm like, all of this for this? But it ended up looking like something good has came out of it. Even in the draft where Zachary Risacher was picked first, and of course I wasn't overly thrilled with that either. But it's starting to look like you got something out of those decisions that were made. So I don't mind being the person with the hand raised saying that I could have potentially been wrong. It just kind of looks like this team kind of peaked a little bit early, if I'm being honest, this season.
DeShaun Tate's college basketball and NBA expert, host of the Hawks Postcast, and joining us on the WayForward.com hotline, talking a little bit about the Hawks and where we go from here. I mean, you know, the thing about Dre to me is you were paying him to be a star starter. You drafted him number four overall. He was the one who said, I want to go to the bench. He became a pretty, you know, pretty good sixth man, but you're not paying that salary for a sixth man. You're just not.
Correct.
Not, you know, you're just, that's not what he's drafted to be. He's not what he's paid to be. You know, he's paid to be a star and star starter for you. And that he didn't want to do that job, didn't accept that role, didn't live up to that role. It was just simply time to move on. So we'll see what they do in the offseason. I got a couple of college basketball questions I'd like to throw at you since I have you here. So let's do a Hawks tie first. I mean, there are some young Hawks fans who don't remember when Mike Woodson was the head coach here, was for a number of years, took over a team that in his first year had the worst season we have ever seen. Gosh, that was 20 years ago. 13 wins. They were just terrible. And year over year over year, he got them better to the point where in his final year, they won 52, 53, 54. I mean, they won a whole bunch. And they still fired him. It was like, oh, okay. It took him a while to rebuild it, and then they let him go. So he goes back to his alma mater, Indiana. He has a ton of talent in Indiana, as witnessed by some of the things that some of the guys that he had there are doing in the NBA. But he's never won there. And it got frustrating for the fans at Indiana because he's a legend at Indiana. And now comes word that he's out at Indiana. And that becomes a, you know, whether they've been this or not, DeShaun, it is a blue blood program, and it becomes Mike Woodson on the outs. That's going to be a job that a lot of people desire. Can you see Indiana making a run at a Brad Stevens, a Bruce Pearl, a Chris Beard? I mean, there's going to be a lot of big name people who are going to be intrigued by that job.
Yeah, and I think that there should be, too. I get it. Maybe Indiana isn't. It's not that Indiana's not the same Indiana that they once were. I can see where they are and aren't. But in the ways that they definitely are, right? I really believe that there are a lot of that is just based on how unsuccessful that they have been. And I think that it only really takes a coach because it's not about the recruiting for them, I don't believe. It's not about any of the other stuff. It's about the coaching and haven't really gotten a guy in there that, you know, can meet, let alone exceed the expectations that come along still with Indiana basketball as a top-tier program and a blue blood. And with that being said, like, maybe, yeah, some of these names that you've mentioned between a Brad Stevens, and I can only imagine what some of these paychecks would like look like to get some of these guys. I mean, you got guys that have ties to the state of Indiana as well. You know, when you start, you know, talking about Dusty May, obviously that's probably something that's not going to happen. He's over at Michigan now, but, you know, we've already heard a lot about, you know, what his ties are with Bobby Knight and so forth. And then, of course, you got Bruce Pearl, who at one point in time, you know, at Southern Indiana, and it would be nice to see him go there. He's been successful everywhere that he's gone, maybe even to Nate Oates considerably. Over there at Alabama. I don't think Kelvin Sampson would get another crack, nor would he probably want one. But T.J. Otzelberger at Iowa State, I think, is another name that could be kind of interesting. They've been, for the most part, a top five, certainly top 10 program all season long over there in Ames. And, I mean, it's certainly a big name job, no question. But the Big Ten's still looking for, what has it been, 25 years now since my Spartans being the last Big Ten team
right.
to win a
Isn't
national
that
championship.
Isn't that
crazy.
I was at that game.
Crazy.
I was at that game in Indianapolis, Mateen Cleaves. I was actually there physically. I watched the game. You know, that was Wisconsin, North Carolina, Florida, and they beat Florida and, you know, Miller in that game. 25 years ago, I was actually at that game at the Hoosier Dome. Oh, my God. So we're talking to DeShaun Tate. Let's talk a little bit because I got only a couple of minutes left. Let's get your thoughts on here. SEC having a phenomenal year here. Looks like they could get 9 teams into the tournament here. Do you consider this March Madness to be kind of wide open, or are you looking at Alabama, you looking at Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, kind of the top of the SEC, and your team, Michigan State? Is it going to be some of these blue bloods and these really good teams, you know, the UConns of the world, are going to rise to the top here, or is it going to be, in your opinion, just such a mess that we're going to have teams just obliterate each other in March Madness?
I think it's going to be a combination of all things. You know, usually we start talking about around this time of the year, people are like, there's like 15 teams that can win a national championship. I never believe that there's that many, probably not even eight. I'm always thinking that there's typically usually a good handful, right, that I really believe that can do this. The thing with the SEC, as good as they've been all season long, and they definitely have, they've got two teams ranked in the top three, for crying out loud. Imagine what kind of game that's going to be when we do see Alabama and Auburn play, especially at Auburn with that crowd and that fan base. But, you know, there's some of these teams I just don't really believe in down the tail stretch of the season, you know. And with that being said, I think it'll be similar probably what we have in the Final Four to what we did the last time that it was in San Antonio in 18. We had one mid-major in a Loyola. We had a Power 5 team, but certainly not a, you know, premier program like a Michigan at that time that went to national championship game. Then you had your blue bloods. You had Kansas and you had Villanova. I could see something very similar to that happening. Make no mistake, I mean, the SEC has been really good. I think that, you know, Kentucky had been my front runner for such a long time. I'm kind of taking more so on the Houston bandwagon now a little bit more than Kentucky to win the whole thing. I think it's Kelvin Sampson's time, but the SEC has been really, really good. I'm just not a believer as much that most of these teams can be considerably a Final Four team. If I had to name just one, I would probably say Alabama and Kentucky being the other.
Yeah, the tournament, final minute here, you know, is it still a guard thing for Liam McNeely at UConn or Cooper Flagg at Duke? They could certainly carry you. But, you know, if Mark Spears gets hot, Alabama goes a long way. You know, it's just just is. That's the way the tournament works, Deshaun.
You got to have the guards. You got to have the guards. You got to have the bench be able to go deep, and some of those big name coaches are some of the bigger reasons behind why. But and just the experience even more so. We always talk about the five-star freshmen and everything else. Well, I think there's only been a little less than a handful of those on national championship teams. Since Duke did it in, 10 years ago, you go and look at those teams in the last 10 years, you see a lot of juniors, a lot of seniors, a lot of five-year seniors and things of that nature. I think that we'll follow suit with that this year.
Where can the fans find you on the Hawks postcast?
Yep, no problem. If you go to your YouTube and put in Atlanta Sports, put in Atlanta Sports, it's right there. It's going to pop up for you. Any and everything Atlanta Hawks, Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Hawks Postcast, me and Tanisha Batiste, another name that a lot of people are probably familiar with on this program. If you listen regularly, we recap all 82 games, including playoffs, if they get that far. It's a lot of fun. It happens immediately after the game, and I'm grateful for everybody that goes and supports that. At Tate's Take Hoops on social media as well. Thanks so much for having me, Fricky.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.